See 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, where it says, when we look in the mirror, which is the word of God, verse 18, we see the glory of the Lord. The Holy Spirit shows us the glory of Jesus. And I'll tell you, it really happens. If you want to see the glory of Jesus, ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. When God filled me with the Holy Spirit in an amazing way 42 years ago, I wasn't very sure whether it was an emotional experience or really a spiritual experience, because I've seen so many people by that time who were only fooled with an emotional experience of making a lot of noise and things like that. I wanted to be sure it was from God. And one of the things I said was, Lord, if this is from you, the New Testament will become a new book to me from today onwards. The one who wrote is the Holy Spirit. So if I'm really filled with the Holy Spirit, I will see things in the New Testament that I had never seen till today. Even though I had been a Christian for 16 years and had read the Bible for 16 years, by that time, I said, Lord, I will now see things in the New Testament that I had never seen before. And I did. Before that, I knew it intellectually. But when the Spirit of God filled me and I came to the New Testament, I began to see things in it which were revelation in my heart. That's why it's so important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot understand Scripture. I mean, you can understand that theoretically. That's why I always used to tell people in our own church back home, remember, brothers and sisters, you may trust me fully and say, oh, Brother Zach is trustworthy, so whatever he says is true, I'll believe it. Okay, that's good. But it's still secondhand. You got an information, an accurate information about God and about Jesus, secondhand from me. You need to take that and say, Lord, convert this to firsthand. Make it real to me. Give me a revelation on this which I heard from him, so that it's revealed in my heart. I see it. And when you see it, you won't need exhortations like what I'm giving now. The Holy Spirit will show you Jesus all the time. And you'll be able to exhort and encourage others to live this life, because you've been gripped by it yourself that this is the only worthwhile way to live on this earth before we leave this earth. And this is the only worthwhile way we want to bring up our children. And it says here, the Holy Spirit shows us the glory of Jesus and then changes us into that same likeness from glory to glory. So it is God's will that as we see this truth of being moved from a self-centered life to a God-centered life, it's not going to happen overnight, but from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory, we'll find our life increasingly moving from a self-centered life to a God-centered life, day by day by day by day, till one day we become like Jesus fully. That is the Christian's path. It's not just coming to church and learning more doctrines and being able to explain different books in the Old Testament more accurately. All that is good. You know, you can study Babylon to Jerusalem and understand everything. But you know what Jerusalem is? It's the body of Jesus Christ. Babylon is the body of Adam. It's like moving from the body of Adam to the body of Christ. And why is the church called the body of Christ? Because it is supposed to manifest exactly what Jesus manifested in his body for 33 years on earth. That's the meaning of being called the body of Christ. It's not just a nice expression. The first body of Christ on earth was not the church. The first body on Christ was not, was a physical body that was despised and rejected, but did God's will perfectly. That's the body of Christ. And now the church is given that same name because we're supposed to be that on earth now. Despised, rejected, misunderstood, ridiculed, but living a life centered in God. Never seeking to please ourselves. Do you want to be a part of that church? Then that principle must grip you. You must be gripped. That's the best way to live on this earth. I've been gripped by it. God is my witness. And I'm not perfect, but I can say that I'm moving in that direction, self-centeredness to God-centeredness. And my goal is to be totally God-centered one day. But what you need to ask yourself is whether you're moving in that direction. Look what Paul said about his own experience. He said in 2 Corinthians 4 and 16 about this transformation, he refers to himself. He said in verse 18, chapter 3, 18, we are changed from one degree of glory to another. And then he says in chapter 4, verse 16, that our inner man, the last part, is being renewed day by day. What does that mean, being renewed day by day? That means every day Paul moved a little away from self-centeredness, a little more towards God-centeredness. Not once a year, every day. He was progressing every day. How did he progress every day? That's also he tells us in the 10th verse. Because he always carried in his body the dying of Jesus. That's the secret. That means he always... What is the dying of Jesus? The dying of Jesus is the dying to his own will. He came to earth with a self-will and he denied it. That's called the dying of Jesus. So that the life of Jesus, which is a completely God-centered life, could be manifested in his body. He says, I'm always carrying it in my body. He didn't have to. He had accepted Christ. Isn't that enough? No, it isn't. For Paul, it was not enough. For most Christians, it's enough. I've accepted Christ. I'm on my way to heaven. Or maybe a little more. I've joined a good new covenant church. No, Paul was not happy with any of that. I've understood the truth. He had understood the truth, but he was not happy with that. He says, always, 24/7, I live by one principle. This is why his life was so useful. And I've been tremendously challenged by Paul's life. You know, where he could say to people, follow me. Come and examine every area of my life. He says, I'm not perfect, but I'm going in the right direction. And every day, I'm moving closer to that goal. It's not enough to say, I'm not perfect. We all say, I'm not perfect. The guy who is unconverted says he's not perfect. So how are we different from him? That we are moving towards a goal to become like Christ. And that means we all agree we want to be like Christ. That's our goal, to become like Christ completely. What does it mean in practical terms? That's why we need a revelation of Christ in our heart. It means to be completely centered in God and to be completely free from centered in self, in practical terms. So if we don't spell it out in practical terms, we live in a world of delusion. We talk about being like Christ and Christ-likeness, and we think it is just behaving nicely and acting humbly. No. That's all the form of godliness. You say thank you and sorry and please and apologize for your mistakes. And these are all actions. We can go through all these actions and be first-class hypocrites. It's if in the motivation in our life, deep down, if you're not moving away from a self-centered to a more God-centered way of thinking and a God-centered, what is going to, if my thinking is not what's going to glorify God most in my life, if that's not the thing that drives me and motivates me, I'm not really moving towards Christ-likeness. You know, I've often thought that a lot of the preaching in the church can become like a self-improvement program. We come here and we learn to behave better, talk better, bring up our children better. It's a self-improvement program and a home improvement program. But that's not the gospel. We can do all that. That's a form of godliness. And your life can look better. Your wife can say, hey, you're behaving better now. And you're content. You may not be God-centered at all. There's a lot of good people on earth who behave very nicely and very courteous. But they're not centered in God. And if I'm not centered in God, if I'm not moving in that direction more and more and more, I'm not becoming like Christ. I'm just becoming a good human being. A better human being than some other human beings around me. That's not Christianity. That's a human self-improvement program. And we've got to not deceive ourselves. I don't want to be in a church which just helps me to be a better human being. I want to be a church that challenges me to be more centered in God and God's interest. What is God interested in on this earth? And my mind must be more and more thinking of that. And I'll tell you this, for some people, God's interest is only to reach people with the gospel and somehow save them from hell, take them to heaven. It's not true. God's interest is that there should be a witness on earth for him, like a light. Pure light. A little bit, but which is pure. Not a corrupt light, but a pure light, even if it is small. Jesus was one person, a complete minority on earth, but he was a powerful witness for God on this earth. The first body of Christ was not big in terms of numbers, one person. So it's not a question of size or numbers. It's a question of whether our light really is fulfilling God's purpose on earth. It doesn't matter what other people think about us. Can God approve of me and saying, you are fulfilling my purpose on earth? Every one of you, I wish you would really seek God about this and ask him this question. Lord, the way I'm living and the way I'm bringing up my family, the way I'm bringing up my children, is it really fulfilling your purpose for my life on earth? I mean, is my life centered more and more on your interests? Do you believe that that is the best life you can live? Do you believe that the best life you can ever live on this earth is one where you never seek your own interest in one single thing and always seek God's interest? A lot of people don't believe that. Then I'd say they're not really repented. They haven't really been converted. It's sort of a half conversion. A person who's really repented and turned around is one who says, Lord, I believe that a life centered in you is the best possible life I can live on this earth.